Welcome to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast, where we interview people who recently purchased their dream home in Spain. They tell us what worked, what didn't, and what they'd do differently next time. I'm Beth Davison, and today I'm speaking with Christina and Peter from Nottingham, who purchased an apartment in Puerto Rey in Almería. And in this episode, it's not just a love affair with property that we're discussing. They worked with estate agent Spanish property experts to find their dream home in Spain. Check out the show notes at quiero.com/podcast to find links and resources mentioned in this episode.
I'm Peter.
I'm Christina.
And we bought an apartment in Puerto Rey near Vera Playa.
Lovely. How long ago are we talking? When did you complete?
We bought it 1st of July, but it took us till middle of August to complete on it. It was an empty flat, no furnishings in at all, no kitchen fitted. We've just about finished furnishing it now over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we've got the kitchen being fitted in about 2 weeks. So it's almost all set up and ready to go now.
Exciting. What? How did the freedom feel of kind of buying an empty place and getting to choose everything yourselves? Because I've heard it both ways. Some people love that. Some people find all the choices a bit stressful. How did you find it?
It's been hard work. There's no denying that. But just making the decisions about what we're going to do with this and do we want this, do we want that. But having said that, it's been really good fun. I think we both enjoyed doing it.
Have you found that your tastes match? Because that's always a challenge.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in all fairness, we're in a pretty new relationship. We've only been together a year. So this was quite a test of finding out about each other and finding out how our tastes together went. And really, I didn't even
romance it. Yeah.
Well done. And I just think that's very brave, but I also sort of feel like you kind of know. Did you guys know quite early on when you met that you'd quite like to have done this, to have bought somewhere in Spain or somewhere abroad?
Well, I was already living in Spain. I've been here 15 years and Peter was in the UK. And so he's moved out here anyway. So this is an additional, like a holiday home for us, but it's a joint holiday home. So we always knew that we wanted to do something together, and this seemed to make sense.
Yeah, amazing. And presumably, because you've been there 15 years, you really knew the different areas, you knew what you wanted. So how much research did you have to do on the regions, or were you immediately like, no, I know where I want to buy?
Well, the general area, yeah. I mean, we wanted to be somewhere that was commutable from home. It's 45 minutes door to door from where we live. So that makes it very easy to get to, even if you just go down for the day. But it wanted to be coastal and potentially lettable if we decide that that's the route we want to go down.
Yeah, totally. And so did that change in any way what you were looking for, your priorities, because you were half thinking, and we might let this? Did that change anything?
No, we already knew that. Well, the reason we bought it was an investment, really. There's no interest on any of the money we've got in the bank. So I thought we might as well have an apartment, because it's not going to cost us any more than having the money in the bank. And it might, if we can rent it out for a couple of months a year, we want it for us as much as anything. But if we can rent it for expenses for a couple of months a year, we're more likely to earn more money from it as an apartment than just being sat in the bank.
Yeah, totally. No, I think that sounds really, really sensible. And did you have to do much research on agents and finding reputable ones, finding ones that you trusted? Or did you have a really good idea, Christina, because you'd been there so long?
I pretty much knew who were well-known agents in the area. Yeah, I mean, I know the sort of coastal area, although I've never lived there. You know, you become familiar with the names and things that have been around for a while.
We didn't look at property because it was on sale by a particular agent. Mm-hmm. No. We were just in a property for sale by anybody. We knew approximately where we wanted to be within a couple of miles, I think, generally speaking. So we were just looking at whatever properties were advertised local to that area, and irrelevant of who the estate agent was. So we weren't using an estate agent to find properties for us. We were finding our own property and then going to the estate agent.
Fab. And how did you find that interaction? When you showed up, did you have a list of clear criteria and they sort of showed you, or did you show up saying, we've seen that property, that's the one we want to look at?
Yes.
I think the latter. Yeah. We had an idea of what we wanted. And whilst we did look at a few other options, we still came back to the same basic thing that we wanted a two-bedroom, two-bathroom, downstairs apartment. And we sort of didn't really waver from that, did we, much?
No, and we've got a reasonable idea of what sort of price range we were looking at. We've sort of, again, restricted the areas we're looking at. We could have looked a couple of miles further towards Mahaka and paid virtually twice as much, which we didn't really want to do. So we kind of knew what our budget was. We knew what we wanted. So it was just a matter of finding the place. But we went and had a look at about, I don't know, four or five places, which quite easily gave us a reason to dismiss what we thought we wanted. For instance, we thought we wanted a townhouse, but having seen a townhouse, we quite quickly dismissed that idea and thought, actually, it's not for us. There's too many stairs in a townhouse.
Interesting.
We probably wouldn't use the outside space on a roof. You know, we thought, actually, whilst it looks really good, you think, oh, that's a really good, you know, like sunny. We actually, when we got there and looked at it and thought, you know, to get up these stairs, you know, like with a few drinks and stuff, it's like up a little spiral staircase. You probably never ever use it. So,
yeah.
It's a nice looking space. It's probably not really practical to use. Well, certainly not for us.
No. I mean, we've got a roof terrace here and we very rarely use it. But sometimes you need to see things to focus on the things that you don't want rather than the things you do want. And you don't always know that until you looked at something, do you?
Totally. And I think this is why viewings, everyone I speak to basically says, you know, viewings are really, really important because you think you know what you want. And often it is based on things that you've seen that other people have or things on the telly. And then you get there and you really think about what your life is going to be like in that property. And it really changes. So paint me a picture then of the place that you settled for. You've said it was two bed, two bath. What sort of views are there? What is the place like that you've bought just for people who've never been?
Well, it's a ground floor apartment with a little garden. We've got a dog, and I've stayed in apartments before when you've been upstairs and you had to go out to take them for a walk in the middle of the night, and it's no fun. So having a little garden was the important thing to us. It is in a development of 87 properties.
Yeah, it's only a small development, really nice little development.
Our view from the garden is directly over the pool area. Communal pool area, which is, and very nice gardens, and it's about a 15 minute walk to the beach, to the nearest beach. There's bars and restaurants in the same distance walking, but it's not right in the centre noisy hubbub area, so it suits us very well.
Yeah, sounds like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, our development is surrounded by countryside, really, Campo, which is a bit of a nature area, which I don't know why they're ever going to build on it. It's like a lagoon, so there's wildlife and stuff nearby, which is really good. Although we don't see that from our apartment, it's surrounding the building, if you like, and it's quite nice. So we knew it was going to be a quiet development, which is what we really liked anyway. And it's not too far from a few facilities. And we're not in the middle of the nightlife, but we've got a few restaurants and things within a 10-minute walk, so it's ideal, really.
It just sounds so nice that you can do everything on foot. I think that's really lovely because sometimes rural places mean that you're going to have to drive to a bar or you're going to have to drive to a cafe or whatever it is. But it sounds like you guys are really well placed. How have you found the development from a socialisation perspective? Have you met people at the shared pool or anything like that?
Well, we've only owned it, as Peter said, for a month. So we haven't had that much opportunity. We believe there are only one other British couple, or the rest are Spanish. But we've interacted
we
with
have
a few.
Interacted, yeah. We spoke to a couple of people in the pool. And there's another guy that I started speaking to a couple of weeks ago, and he keeps fetching us to show us what he's doing in his apartment. a lot of it, whilst the building's been built for about 15, 16 years, I think the developer possibly went bust during the financial crash. I'm not 100% sure about it, but it's been owned by the bank for a number of years,
right,
including at least 16 or 17 other apartments that all sold on the same day that we bought out. I mean, we were looking at it, and I think they sold 16 or 17 apartments that they owned at the same time. So there's lots of people in the same situation as us, of only just getting them now, and obviously having to sort of furnish and, you know, build kitchens in them, etc. So there's people sort of doing that at the moment. So there's been a lot of empty apartments there that are now sort of having some life breathed into them. And yet the place has been immaculately kept. It is really, really smart. It's like a 5-star hotel resort. The grounds and everything are immaculate.
Wow. And I think that's quite nice that everyone's moving, or it's lots of people doing the same thing at the same time. I think that might sort of increase the socialisation element if that's what you wanted, and to kind of chat to people. Do you mind if we talk about specific budget? I know you mentioned that you went to the estate agent with a number. Do you mind saying what that was and whether you kind of got what you wanted for that price?
Well, we thought we'd spend up to, talking about, if you're talking about English money, we were around about £100,000 top budget,
right?
Really, we didn't spend any more than that. And we were looking at apartments that were around about, within about £10,000 of that, that were furnished in similar developments nearby, but they were furnished apartments. We ended up buying this one completely unfurnished, as I say, with no kitchen in it, for 71 in the end, which we thought was a really good
price.
That
was euros. €71,000.
Wow.
But having said that, it's then another €20,000 on top of that for fees and having a kitchen put in and buying all the furniture, etc. So, you know, we're getting up towards around about probably £90,000 by the time we've done.
It still just seems like amazing value to me. Like every conversation that I have with people, I'm just like, people really get value for money. Did you feel that when you were looking and just comparatively to England or even other European countries? Did you feel like it was good value?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the cost of property in this area particularly is a lot less than a lot of the other costs. It is a little bit behind in infrastructure. But that gives it a certain charm that maybe some of the, like the Costa del Sol and the Costa Blanca don't have. It's not as nightlifey and buzzy and
touristy.
Yeah,
it's just not.
You know, there's a limit on the height of buildings that can be built. There's three stories is the maximum height, so you haven't got huge great hotel complexes and things like that. And I think it's the sort of last little gem left on the Spanish coast, although the prices are beginning to rise. But this area is better value than a lot of areas. But we thought that was, you know, for what we've got, we're really pleased with the price we paid.
Yeah.
And we've been able to do it exactly how we want it, rather than buy something that was already furnished and you could walk into key ready, which is great if you're just buying a holiday home and you're only over for a few weeks a year and you can't be here to oversee it. But we can go down.
We live here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like the maintenance man rang us half an hour ago and said, can you come down this afternoon? We need you to be here while we do something. Well, that sort of thing is so much easier for us. But we understand that some people just want to buy something that's got, they buy lock, stock and barrel with knives and forks and serviettes and everything already there. But for us, it's been a good journey, although it's been quite tiring working it all out. We've thoroughly enjoyed doing it.
Spent a lot of time on IKEA and Amazon.
Yeah. But the rewarding feeling when you complete something like that and you can go and you know that it's all yours and you really worked hard to find the right place and then to make it feel right, the sense of sort of not just relief, but yeah, the reward of it must feel great.
Yeah, it does. It feels a lot better than if we just bought something, because we looked at a really, really nice one that was totally furnished. You wouldn't have had to have bought anything to go in it. But if you compare the two now, well, we bought the sofa that we want and we bought the bed that we want and we've got the kitchen exactly how we want it. And there's a feel-good factor from that, yeah.
And because, so you mentioned you're a 45-minute drive away. So I just wanted to talk about life in Spain in general, really, because it's interesting. So when you moved 15 years ago, what was the reason behind that and how have you found life in Spain comparatively to where you were before?
Well, 15 years ago, it was very, very different. I mean, everything's changed an awful lot since then. It was this particular area was really quite basic. It was like the UK 30 years ago.
Mm.
And we live in the country, although we live in an urbanisation. Our particular one is only 9 houses. But in the whole of the, I call it a pueblo, but it doesn't have any facilities whatsoever, apart from a restaurant which opens and closes very frequently. So it hasn't got any shops or bars or anything in it. It's just literally a load of houses. That said, it's 8 minutes drive to the nearest reasonable sized town. But when I first came here, there weren't roads to the town. There isn't any mobile signal here. There isn't any landlines. The internet is all microwave internet. So communications are a little bit of a problem. And things changed an awful lot, you know, since they put in tarmac roads and mains drainage and electricity that worked and things like that.
The choice to go somewhere so rural then, was that, so that was, I'm assuming that was exactly what you wanted. You wanted to be kind of off-grid and rural and...
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say it was off-grid because it's surrounded by lots of other homes now. It's certainly, I mean, if you approach it from one direction by coming over the top of a mountain, and when you look down from the peak of the mountain and all you see is this sort of collection of houses in the middle of nothing, it can be quite daunting. You know, yeah, we've had visitors come over and say, "You live there?" and it's not for everybody. I have to say it's not for everybody. But having said that, it's very quiet and tranquil. It's mostly holiday homes and retired people, and it suits us very well. Mm. What will happen when we're 75 is a different matter, because I don't think it's probably practical to stay here for the rest of your life, you know, it, without having phones and things like that. It's not the easiest thing if you have an accident or an illness or something like that. We realise that we will probably at some point in the future have to move.
Yeah.
But it's a nice comparison being here and then going down to the coast and having seen a little bit more life and a few more people. And it's a perfect balance, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. There's no transport links or anything like that. There's no such thing as taxis, buses. If you've not got a car, you couldn't live in this village. You literally couldn't. You can't get out of the village. I mean, you've got to walk across mountains to get out of it. You know, we're nestled in a between mountains here. Yeah, in that sense, we're quite rural.
It sounds right up my street, to be honest. I think it sounds so nice. And I think that it just depends what you're looking for. And I think that it sounds like it suits you guys down to the ground. If someone was considering doing either moving to Spain permanently, like Christine did 15 years ago and that Peter's now done, or just considering buying a holiday home, what advice would you give to people kind of just beginning that process or just thinking of that idea?
I think the first thing I'd say is be prepared for it not being like the UK. People come here and they expect services to work. They expect people to turn up on time. They expect the bureaucracy to just work. And that doesn't happen. I know it's a joke about Spain sometimes, and I'm not criticising it because this is their country and they behave as they wish to. But it is not Little Britain. You have to accept that you're going to have to give some leeway to the way that the system is.
Mm.
I'd also say I think that it's a good idea to rent for maybe 6 months before you come over. A, to find out the different areas, but B, to make sure that it's really what you want, because over the course of the years, I've known so many people that have come here and that, yeah, we want to go and live in Spain. It's always been our dream. And then they get here and they find that it isn't actually what they want. And then, of course, if you bought something, it's very hard to sell up and go back.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually say that the biggest thing probably is to rent before you buy. Find your area, find the area that you want to be in, and check out what the facilities are, and are they an acceptable distance away, or do you not want to deal with having to drive everywhere? Do you want to be somewhere where you've got some sort of public transport and things like that?
Yeah, that's great. I think that's fantastic advice. Peter, anything to add?
No, I mean, I've lived here for just about a year now, and I think that had I come across here independently to live, I would have found it really difficult to start off with. Obviously, Tina's been here, she knows the system, she knows everybody, she knows everything. So for me, like, even the first week I came here, we got residency sorted out, driving license. Well, there's a story about driving license. They applied for my driving license in February, should have had it within 2-3 weeks. Still haven't got it.
Oh, no.
Because the coronavirus lockdown, it's been a nightmare. They've lost it. It's gone all over. Anyway.
So has Tina been driving you around?
No, I can still drive. I've got a document to say that you went to Trafico. I can still drive. I've got, you know, legal and everything. But I physically haven't got my driving license. It was a sent away to Trafico in February. And this is a thing about Spanish bureaucracy.
Patience is important.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And I think I would have really struggled with doing a lot of things like applying for the padrón where you live. A lot of things are really, really difficult to do. I mean, there are really good HES stores here that do all that for you. And in fact, we've used one for bits and bobs, and it, they're really good. But when you first come over and you don't understand how things are done, I think it's really, really difficult. I mean, I've been in a really lucky situation. Christine's been here and done everything, really, sort of pointed me in the right direction to get everything done. But I could imagine that if I'd have just come independently, I think it would have been really difficult, to be honest, to get started. But that said, everything's worked out really, really well. I never want to go back to the UK to live. I'm more than happy living here. It's amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And how did you guys meet?
So we met really on holiday. And 3 months later, we lived together.
Amazing. Well, I'm so pleased that it's gone so well. And thank you so much for telling me the story. I think that's everything covered. And it's just been really, really helpful for people to hear your story. And I'm so pleased it's gone so well. And it's all going to be so exciting now. You can just relax and settle into it.
Yeah,
we look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, guys. Have a lovely rest of your day.
And you. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to Spanish property experts for making this episode possible, and to Christina and Peter for sharing their experiences. I feel like this year, more than ever, it's so nice to hear stories of people finding happiness together, and some great advice in there about patience when it comes to bureaucracy. Remember, if you like what you've heard, you can search for this agent's properties and more on Quiero.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This podcast was produced by Quiero.com, and our mission is to connect you with estate agents and properties throughout Spain. Whether your dream home is a rustic farmhouse surrounded by olive groves or a lock-up-and-leave apartment on the seafront, you'll find everything you need at Quiero.com. We love hearing how these podcast episodes have helped you find your dream home in Spain. Please do continue to share your feedback with us. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate you taking the time to review and rate our podcast on iTunes or your preferred podcast listening app. Your feedback, reviews, and ratings help us reach and connect more people with their dream home in Spain. And whenever you're ready, here are 4 ways we can help you. Ask a question by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll try and answer them all in an upcoming Q&A episode. Get a location guide by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll reply with the latest data and information on the areas you're interested in. Calculate your budget. Simply visit quiero.com/budget, enter 2 numbers and you're done. Be our guest. If you've already purchased your home in Spain, we would love for you to share your story on the podcast. Just email beth@quiero.com and we'll take it from there. So this is the final episode of this year, and gosh, what a year 2020 has been. Well done for making it through, and thank you for choosing to spend your time with us at Quiero. I hope these podcasts have helped to getting you closer to your dream home in Spain. We'll be bringing more sunshine your way in 2021, so tune in next time when I catch up with Bob from Bath, who, having lived in Saudi Arabia and purchased property in Tenerife, decided it was time for a townhouse in Orba. I'm Beth Davison, and you've been listening to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast. I'll see you next year.